The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Greetings, everyone. Happy to be here with you. I need to begin, however, by a correction. A couple of corrections. One is that the event on Saturday, which is a fundraiser for a new monastery near Seattle, I didn't get that right. I kind of jumped to conclusions, but it seemed to me to be a reasonable jump. Because when I saw the invitation to this event, there were six monastics, with monks interspersed with nuns, and they were all named. And I made the assumption that, wow, there are going to be nuns in this monastery. And that's not the case. My beloved mentor, Aya Ananda Bodhi, actually, since she was also tagged in that, had to come out of her silence. In fact, that monastery will just be for male monastics. And the reason they put nuns in there was not because they were going to be part of the monastery, but because they were friends of this future monastery. And I guess Ajahn Pasano wanted to make a fundraising pitch for them as well. Anyway, I do apologize for my uncalled for jubilation, but I'm happy for the monks that they're doing a fundraiser for this new Clear Mountain Monastery. And so today we're going to talk about last wholesome mind state for the week, which is called Vossaga, V-O-S-S-A-G-G-A, Vossaga, with two S's and two G's and no long marks. But before I go there, I need to make a correction for my teaching yesterday when I was wanting to explain the Chinese character that was used in the Agamas to translate a Pali term, and I had remembered that it was Nirodha, but actually it wasn't Nirodha. It is Samadhi. So this wonderful picture of look and see is the Chinese term for samadhi. But actually, you know, it wasn't too far-fetched on my part to make this mistake, because samadhi is really related to nirodha, cessation. Samadhi being deep concentration. Because samadhi can be seen as the quintessential stopping of the wandering mind. And when we finally stop well enough, then we can see we're ready for insight. And at that point, nothing is going to stop us from becoming enlightened. So stopping is a big part of samadhi. So how would we describe samadhi? For me, it's a mind that is open. It's soft and steady. And it has a quality, I believe, of emptiness. A kind of emptiness that allows for receptivity. And that's what allows us, or allows the meditator who can go deep into samadhi, to really see things as they really are. So the theme for today is vosaga, which is usually translated as relinquishment. And like all the other factors I've been introducing this week, it also has a very wide spectrum of its meaning in Pali. And we see this from the context in which we find it in different parts of the Pali canon. So, sort of initial translation of vosaga, relinquishment, is letting go. And letting go can then mature into giving up our unwholesome tendencies. And that in turn, so vosaga is also translated as giving up, and then it can go farther, that can lead to release. And when release is mature, that is complete relinquishment. That's nibbana. Blowing out. The candle is blown out. We've dropped everything. We've let go of everything. That's the, you know, when we get ready to be at arhat. So may not be for this lifetime, but that's where we're headed. And then, very interestingly, another meaning of vosaka, in addition to letting go and relinquishment, is simply a donation. It also means giving. And the beautiful heart quality of generosity. And you may know, if you've read some of the early texts, that the Buddha, especially when teaching lay practitioners, the very first instruction he would give would be to cultivate generosity. And then the next one, even more important, is that when we're comfortable with being generous, then to really take seriously the five precepts and really endeavor to live as ethically as we possibly can. And I love my monastic teachers because they incarnate that so beautifully. This exquisite ethics. Non-harming. Ahimsa. So, it's also said in the early texts that when we have mastered making use of the wholesome mind qualities of the seven awakening factors, what this ripens in is relinquishment, vosaka, the same quality. So Another thing I'd like to stress is that when the thinking mind does quiet down for a moment, for most of us, that really feels good. And yet, there's nothing. But you feel the goodness of this mind state of quiet mind. And recognizing that when it happens, even if it's not for a long time, that's really valuable, and it's really good to take a moment to enjoy that. And that's also shines a light on the importance of joy in our practice. Sort of like the puppy that I talked about earlier this week, training a puppy with treats rather than with punishment. Our mind is going to respond favorably to experiences that we perceive as joyful or happy. And in a healthy way, we'll want more of that. So that helps to keep us on the path when we really taste how good it is to let go of all that that thinking. But as we all know, quieting our mental fabrications or mental constructions, the word in Pali is sankara, it takes a long time because it's not instinctive for us. And you know that your awareness, your mindfulness, your attention, where you've placed your attention, is profound when it's no longer coming from the control tower. And also when your experience is no longer one of reactivity. So this feeling of well-being and happiness, joy, its function in meditation is to help us trust being here in this body, in this mind, however it is. So in his recordings of his meditation teachings, Venerable Anālayo begins by asking us to formulate in an altruistic way, if possible, our deepest intention. Why are we here to meditate? And I think I'll share with you my deepest intention, which I came to a few years ago and stayed with me for a while, is I make a vow to be a safe haven of kindness and emptiness for all beings. And the kindness is obvious, but for someone like me who gets caught in the comparing mind, comparing myself to others, emptiness is really a valuable quality to cultivate. And I know that if I'm not empty, if I have fixed ideas in there, or I'm, just obsessed with myself, I can't be safe for others. So I really do want to be safe for others. And I think cultivating emptiness is a very wholesome thing to do. So if you'd like some homework at the end of this week, I suggest that you sit down with a Dharma buddy that you trust, and the two of you have an in-depth conversation where you ask each other over and over again, what keeps you from letting go? And then giving your buddy a chance to think about it and answer it. And when they do, then repeating the question to invite them to go down to a deeper level. So yeah, the process of investigating our own mind state and getting a glimpse of what is holding us back from completely letting go. So I'll be teaching here again the week of July 10th. But next week, you will be treated to the teachings of my longtime Dharma buddy, Kim Allen. And I believe that the theme will be on another very different exploration of the faculty of taste, rasa, which we've worked on together this week. So to end this week of practicing together, I bow to each of you to thank you for your beautiful practice. And we'll keep streaming the chat for a while in case you'd like to make any comments or suggestions for improvement. Thank you so much. And
hey, thank you.
I'm going to disappear. There won't be a Q&A because my adorable little grandsons are visiting and I need to go out and play with them. So that's all, folks.
All right. Thank you, Meg. And thank you to also our YouTube editors and Audio Dharma editors that have also joined this morning. So Dimitra Job, who's playing with his grandchildren today, Julie and Kevin H. So thank you, everybody. And everyone have a good week. Take care.